So you have three verses, and what I want to discuss, and I don't know how to get into it. I could just start, but I want to kind of get into it. When you look at the broad, and I'm going to use the term evangelical world, which is supposed to be a place where you hear the gospel, you broadly conceived, you have a group that basically has no rules. Now, I'm not going to discuss any of this. I'm going to get to the heart of why that is this morning. Or I don't know if it's the heart of why it is, but it influences it. And I would say this is the majority of American. Would you say that's true? Now, by the way, if you go to one of these churches, this is what you'll hear. They will preach truth, but they will never take, look at me in the eyes, take a truth from here and apply it to your life. I called it years ago bare bones Christianity. Since we're all adults here, you can hear this. It's Bill Clinton. Hey, look at me. It's all according to what you mean by sex. Yes? So they're real big on no immorality, but they never tell you what's that mean. So there is, and by the way, this is the vast majority of the evangelical world. So they will say, yeah, we believe the Bible, but they can't. Whoa, whoa. I put that in a different spot on purpose. Set it over here. Yeah. Are you with, by the way, are you even listening? Did you hear what I just said? They can never say, this is what that means in your life. And that's the vast majority of the evangelical world. So they basically have no rules about anything. If you don't prefer rules, how about this? Standards. Or whatever term you want to use. This is the majority, I'd say 80%. And the reason is, the moment the pastor starts taking that further step, people get very angry. Now you have another group over on the other side. And I would say this is the next largest. And why do I say, by the way, I don't think this group is very big. I don't think either one of these groups are very big. I think this is the group that has a rule about everything. We now have kids in our high school that wear, some of them, when they dress up, they wear, what are those pants called, Amy? They're dress pants with elastic bottoms. Have you seen them? Where have you been?
In the library.
Now, some of you are like, what? First, your thing is, huh? Now, if you're in part of one of these churches, the pastor has already declared from heaven, those are of the devil. You have 12 rules in the handbook against those pants. Tim, what is the problem with that? Have you ever read those kind of books? After a while, they look kind of stupid because by the time we got those rules in the handbook, next semester, those things are gone. And I don't know if they're sinful as much as, Hello? So you have, and by the way, who didn't dress dumb? I've seen pictures of me from high school. Our age, you know how bad it was? Bell-bottom pants. They were so cool in the day. Yeah. I mean, I thought bell-bottom pants were cool. So every time I think, you had striped bell bottoms. Duncan? But the difference is Duncan still has those bells. How about this? My favorite haircut. I used to think, I grew up in the hippie era, which would be our era. Right after that, they dropped that and they went to the mullet. That has got to be the ugliest haircut ever invented. And every once in a while, you'll see a guy, I'm 60, they're in their 50s. And they'll walk into Walmart, and their hair's white, and they got a perfect mullet. You know, it's cut around, and it's this long in the back, and you're like, buddy, get out of the 80s. Quickly, get out of the 80s. So, are you all kind of with me on this? Do you know what? I'm not going to name churches, but this is not a big group. I will tell you this. I think this group is the smallest. And I think the reason it's the smallest is it actually requires something that Christians don't do well. Thinking. Christians are followers. We're puppets. Or, worse than a puppet is this. It's simply the person that if I spent 5 hours discussing an issue, at the end of 5 hours and 100 verses, the person says, I just disagree with Pastor Warren. So many people live here, if you're honest with yourself. You can't see any difference in the way they live than an unsaved person. Maybe they go to church. Maybe in a church like ours, they don't drink. And yes, I'm against drinking, 100%. But I'm also against everything that goes along with drinking, bitterness, laziness, and all of the other garbage that causes you to drink. So some people say, I don't drink. Well, who cares? I had a dog. We had a dog in our house that never drank for 19 years, but are you better than a dog? So these are kind of where we're at. So what I want to do this morning is to give you a little chart from three verses in your notes, if you don't mind. And I think this might actually help you. I hope. Yes, you have notes if you want to write something down. And if you don't want to write something down, you can sleep just like some people sleep when they have notes. We're going to begin in the beginning or in the middle. When I say middle, I'm not talking about 10%. I'm just saying broadly in the middle, what I think the Bible teaches. We start with 1 John 4:19. So Dave, could you read that for us again, please? So that tells us at least two things about what this church believes. The first thing is what every Arminian believes on earth. That God's love precedes our love. So my question is that what the verse teaches? What does the verse say? We love him. That's different than precedes. We would believe that God's love and other things actually is causal, causes. Before you get all discombobulated, you that aren't used to thinking theologically, that is what it says. Now, there's a whole host of problems associated with that. I'll let you work on those. So simply stated, 1 John 4:19 is, in a very simple way, the foundation of the Christian faith. The Christian faith does not begin with me. It does not begin with me pursuing God. It begins with God pursuing me. And the reason I'm saved today is not because salvation's a little bit of God and a little bit of me. It's all of God. Salvation is of the Lord. That's where it's all at. So I like to use these words, and you might just think about these words, since or because. And we'll come back to those in a moment. What is the second verse, Dave? Dave is, by the way, in case you don't know, I have two daughters and two sons. I have a nice daughter over here, then I have the other daughter. I have an adopted son, Dave, and I like him more than my son most of the time, too. Go ahead. So here's Christianity. Where does our faith begin? In the love of God, which is ultimately going to result in us loving him. And Jesus says, simply, it's just this simple. If you love me, and I'm not going to write all of it down. What's the word he uses? What? Keep my commandments. I have a funny book in my office on the Ten Commandments. It's called The Ten Struggles. And when I first saw it, I'm like, oh, it's a No, actually, it's a commandment. It's, you know, God kind of expects the believer to obey. Now, I want to say this before we go too much farther. There are folks that come to our church and maybe that are in our church that won't like me. Because, again, when you look at commandments, what you mean is this. If the Bible doesn't directly, look at me, with a sledgehammer tell you to not do something, you can do it. Well, I actually believe God's commandments. I don't actually believe this. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 5. I guess it's better not just to say that. We don't have time to look at other verses. We'll just look at one. It's all through Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 27, everybody find it? Matthew 5 and verse 27. Cliffy, you found it? Go ahead. 27 and then 28. Now, I'm not going to get into the, look at me in the eyes, I'm not going to get into the anything other than to say this. If you have grown up in a typical evangelical church, you find repugnant when the pastor starts applying the Bible because you've never applied the Bible. Application means this. It's not enough to say, I don't do X. You have to understand God's original intent, which always implies more than just the bare bones of Scripture. There are, look at me, steps of application, correct? Which means, males, it's not enough that you don't commit adultery. How about your pornography problems? You say, well, it doesn't say anything in the Bible about me looking at pornography. No, it doesn't. How could it? And even, by the way, God could have, even before pornography was invented. But could you imagine how big the Bible would be? I think he kind of thinks and looks at you and says, I think you have a brain. And here's a principle. And there is no such thing as new evangelical, bare bones Christianity. You must take the ideas and apply them to your circumstances. So every command, oh my goodness, we have a backslider among us. Leo. Leo, we love you, but this is Navy time, not Haitian time. Oh, Cassie. It's always Cassie's fault. So, may I ask a question? Does everybody understand the principle? There is no place in the Bible where it's going to command every possible stupid thing people can do. That doesn't mean you go ahead and do them because, well, the Bible doesn't say I can't. I don't think there's enough things you could think of. I mean, the Bible would just be an encyclopedia. So here's what we have. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, from my perspective, and I've taught this a lot in the last 6 months, you have dangers on both sides. On this side, the first danger is legalism, which teaches this. And by the way, everything is going to come back to John 14, 15. It teaches something like this. If you keep my commandments, I will love you. And that's pretty much every legalistic church in the world, which puts salvation where? Yes, and it also puts it always, look at me in the eyes, everybody, in the future. It's in the future. Because you have to believe on Jesus. You have to come to this church. You have to do this. Salvation is always. Well, have you ever read Roman Catholic theology? Why does a real Roman Catholic believe that everybody's going to purgatory? It's not because they're angry people. They are legalists. And a legalist believes it's always if. And how do you know what the if is? So everybody falls short. So everybody goes to purgatory for a while. Unless you got a lot of money and you can pay for some, you know, indulgences and things like that and masses and then you pop out. You say, you're being goofy. They still buy masses for people in purgatory. So please don't look at me like I'm being funny. That is legalism. So everything is. Would you close your Bible for me? Did you give me your Bible? Because your dad doesn't read the Bible, so. Here it is. You want this? This is salvation. Reach for it. That's your whole life. Now, you hear me. A real Roman Catholic is the easiest person to witness to. Some of you disagree. I said a real Roman Catholic. Because a real Roman Catholic is dominated by two things. How did you guess both words? Fear and guilt. Do you not? I said a real Roman Catholic. Now, how many of those do you find? Polish Catholics, some of them. A few Irish Catholics that are from Ireland. My goodness, Italian Catholics, the old women. But most Catholics don't. You talk to them about this stuff and they, I don't believe that. Then what do you believe? Well, I believe what I believe. And it's like with the Catholic. And it's, but when I deal with the real Roman Catholic, look at me in the eyes. I always know something. They have an inbuilt fear of everything. They have to, because salvation is, it's the next step. One prayer away, one something away, one our Father, one Hail Mary, one gift. Am I being correct? By the way, do you remember I said something? Let me write this down. They have this kind of theology. Their theology is if, then. Christianity is this. It's since or because then. Christianity is since Christ has done this for me. Therefore, I love Him, I obey Him, I serve Him. It's exactly backwards. You're now set free to follow Christ instead of always reaching, always hoping, always doing. Now, obviously, in America especially, Catholics are not very serious about their Catholicism. You will find in certain countries, I think Polish might be the best Catholics on earth today, I think, as a country, because it's all tied, Ralph, it's all tied up in the history of Poland. You know that. It's all tied up in the fight against communism. It's all tied up, and by the way, if you don't know this, John Paul II, whatever you think of him, was one of the greatest men in the last 100 years. The things he did against communism is almost unknown among Americans. Poland is free to a great extent because of a Catholic pope that was from Poland. So you start tying nationalism, freedom with Catholicism, Polish people tend to be very good Catholics. Ireland had that in the past. Some countries, yeah, I'm Catholic. I don't know what it means. So the difference is since Christ has done this, therefore then or therefore I do this. Because of what God has done, therefore, where this is always, if you do something, then God will do something, which always keeps you, as Mike said, one prayer away, one step away, one gift away. You never quite get there. And Tim, I was at your dad's funeral. Most people in this room, unless you have an ear to listen, much of that was pure Christianity, except your dad's salvation was future. Receive him. There was no, because of what Christ has done, it's always in the future. Except the last 30 seconds or a minute when he talked about Mary in purgatory. But his was not nearly as bad as some of those. I've been to those things and it starts with Mary, it ends with Mary. But the big problem is the finished work of Christ doesn't do anything. It's always future. Please receive him. I would never pray, look at me, I would never pray for the Father to receive anybody into heaven. That's all because of Christ. My prayers have nothing to do with that. I can't change that one way or the other. So that's legalism. If you keep my commandments, finally, I will love you. So how do you know he loves you? How do you know you've kept enough of his commandments? How will you ever know you've kept enough of his commandments? And the answer is you will not. Now you're ready for the hard part. Now I come to Fundamental Baptist. Are you ready? I call this legalism light. I want to be very clear. This view is a group of people, many Baptists, who believe you're saved by Christ, 100%. But they still have this in their system. And you say, what does legalism light say? Are you ready? If you love me. And I'm going to put love in parentheses because I'm not really referring to love in this context. If you love me, are you ready? More. I will love you. That's it, Mike. Did you just hear me? May I use your Bible again? Do you understand? I'm not going to mention names because I'll have people out there mad at me and people talking under their breath. So I won't go into any names. Many Baptist churches in the past taught salvation by grace at salvation. But the moment you get saved, you're back on trial. By the way, that's the key to this. You're still, look at me, you're still on, see this word? Trial. Do you understand? You're still on trial. Now, the difference is this. Up here, you're on trial for what? Salvation. Down here, you're on trial, if I can use the word, to be loved and accepted by God. So, yeah, you're saved. You're going to heaven. But does God really accept you and love you? Some of you are saying, who cares? Your theology, by the way, have you ever wondered why kids are so stupid that grow up in our church? Because parents have never thought through their theology. So you rear your children exactly what you think God looks at you as. So guess what? If you're on trial, how do you rear your children? If you get A's, I really love you. If you get A, now I changed my mind. It's got to be A plus. Change my mind. It's got to be A plus, A plus, A plus. What'd you say? She's already there. No thanks to certain people. May I say this, friend? I see children in our church who do not think their parents love them because you haven't yet got your theology. No, don't drop your piosity on me. I'm talking about this. You haven't got these issues in your heart where you love your children like God loves you. Meaning, you know what? Because if I could be the Father, because of what the Son has done, I love you. You can't really get more or less than that. Oh, yeah, I want you to obey me, and I'll do things to make sure you do the right things. But it's not like if, I've heard parents say this, you got 4 A's and 1 B. Well, could have been 5 A's. The children grow up never thinking people in the family accept them. Well, look at me. Then the women get married and read all this garbage into their husband. So they look at their husband and think, my husband doesn't. And he can never change her mind because it has nothing to do with him. It has something to do with the way she grew up and the way she grew up in church. So, come on, a little harder. Wait a minute. Do you notice why I put love in parentheses? Because I'm not talking about love. If you tithe, if you give, what's the word, Ron? If you give, it's on the board. Yes, if you. Now, let me say this. I'm not going to say anything about Lake County because some of you will get perfluffled. I can tell people that grew up here because when they feel guilty, they do more. And you missed everything about Christianity. Christianity is not a game where you feel guilty. Here. Do you think I love you, by the way? I even love Leo. And that's hard. You say, why do you love Leo? His mother and his sister. That's the only hope he has. Now, can I ask you all a question? What's the difference? Legalism is dominated by fear and what? This one here is dominated by guilt. Or, let me throw in another word. I hate this word. But it's not spoken. People don't speak it. The word enough. I'm in Bible college. See, how do you know this? Again, I'm not going to talk about Lake County because some of you will... But when I went to Bible college, I'm sitting in chapel. Now, I know all of you are busy. Some of you are so busy. But when I was in Bible college, I actually worked full-time and went to school full-time for 5 years. Try it sometime. Didn't have anything to do. I didn't even have time to breathe. I could only sleep between 5 and 5.5 hours a day maximum. If everything clicked just right. I can remember I could never in an evening just say, I'm not going to do my work. If I had a break at work, I had to do homework. It was just pressure. I went to chapel one day, and a guy, and I'll mention his name, Roger Castillo, was preaching. He was one of the half a dozen bimbos there that had the IQ of a cockroach, and they only had one sermon. Look me in the eyes. More. He got up, and he was, you young guys need a prayer, and all, but his sermon had the opposite effect on me. Because I was already past the limit, holding on, barely. And I realized, I don't have any more to give. So if God is going to love me, he's either going to have to love me because of Christ, or not at all. There's nothing left to give. Hello? Now, don't get me wrong. Most people here don't have that problem. Though there are some that do. They feel like they're right at the edge. I can think of a couple right in this room that live pretty close to the edge because of circumstances. Do you understand? I don't have to say anything nice. I never say nice about Steve, but Emily and whoever her husband is. Listen, he works full-time, she works full-time, and they're taking care of the mother. And some of you don't get that because you want somebody to take care of you. I know they're at the edge sometimes. I believe you ought to serve God, but you ought not to do it because it's not enough. If you just serve God more, God would, listen, if you gave more, God would bless you more. Do you understand? Look at me in the eyes. It's really the same game. The only difference is one is for salvation. One is, all right, you are saved by grace, but now let's get back to if then. Got it? Now there's the opposite problem. This is where the vast majority of the evangelical world is. And I call this liberalism, and I'm going to be exact, light. I do not mean these are theological liberals. I mean they act like theological liberals in this area. If you love me, and you say, what's the problem? They can't finish the statement. Now, some of you aren't even getting what I'm saying. Now, for me, it's just, I think Jesus says, if you love me. But in this system of thinking, if you keep God's commandments, you're a legalist. Because anything that deals with obeying God is legalism. Actually, we have somebody who used to come to this church now writes blogs on this nonsense. She's what's called a hyper-dispensationalist. She thinks 4 books are for today. Of course, if she actually read those books, she wouldn't even believe it then. But she doesn't think works ever has anything to do with Christianity. You just, if you love me, here's their answer. If you love me, really, really, here we go. Love me. And that is 75-80% of American Christianity today. The pastor never says anything that offends anybody about anything. Because pastor can't. Because most of the people... Oh, by the way, in some of those churches, they're big on creation. Because creation then can be a little... Well, let's look at creation because I don't have to do anything differently. Or we're into King James onlyism. Or we have all these little things we chase... But the thing we never chase is obeying God. And that's liberalism light. Why don't we look at some verses? 1 Corinthians 8, verse 9, would you? Dave, I'll have you read that one. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 9. Dada, or not Dada, you're taking notes. Cliffy, for you, Galatians 5, 13 and 14. And let's see who else looks intelligent here. I'm looking for an intelligent-looking person. Mike Hall looks very intelligent. Mike, would you look up 1 Peter 2, 16? Some guys have all kinds of excuses for not reading. Pastor, my Bible doesn't work. That was the first time I've ever heard that one. I've heard the dog ate my Bible, but 8:9. This is where you use liberty, and basically your Christian life is liberty. By the way, friends, if you want to know the kind of church, look on their website. If you look on their website and they have the pastors preaching, he will have 14 weeks of Sunday morning sermons against legalism. Do you all remember a sermon or a Bible study I did on this? Christianity is a path. It's a path and not a tightrope. It's a path and not the ditch on... And remember, how do you know what kind of church you're in? By where the danger lies. If you're in a legalistic church, the danger lies to the left. If you're in this church, there's only one danger, legalist. Actually, anything that teaches you that you don't have to obey God, something's fundamentally wrong. All right? So, Mike, are you going to do the next one? You do the next one. 1 Peter 2:16, I think it is. So as free, yes, but not in the sense that you're free to do whatever you want to do. So when I hear a Christian at Lake County Baptist saying, I just ain't going to do that, well, I know where they're minimally they're here. And I hear this a lot. I'm not coming to that Bible study. I'm not listening to that. I don't do that. And it's like, okay, well, God bless you. Then find your little area of Christianity that interests you. You can get in the Illuminati group where you every service or every Bible study is about the Illuminati. There's all kinds of little things Christians chase, but interestingly, obedience is not one of this group. Galatians 5, who's doing that one? Cliffy, is it 13 and 14?
13 and 14?
I think. So, in a very simple way of thinking about this, Christianity starts with God. The love of God and other things, that is the great cause of our salvation. It's not us seeking God, it's Him seeking us. And it comes to this, if it starts with God's love and our love for Him, then if we love Him, well, of course, we keep His commandments. On this side, legalism is, if you keep my commandments, I will love you. That's pure legalism. But I fear legalism light in some circles very much. And look at me in the eyes. You always know. I talked to a young lady in my Bible class this week, and I said, what in your church is the view of women wearing pants? Now, for some of you, you're already nervous. What's he going to say? What's he going to say? What's he going to say? I do wish some women didn't wear pants. They're so ugly in pants, it'd be better if you never put a pair on. Okay? And yes, you should think about how you look in what you dress in. But that's not the issue. The young lady said, in my church, if a girl wears pants, it is questionable whether she's saved. Because Christianity revolves on, that's it. Now, by the way, may I say this? In another care, he says, I don't know what it would mean to be saved. Because Jesus just loves me. Just the way I am. How about this? Let me make this more philosophical for Cliffy over here. Cliffy's taking his first class in his master's degree at Central, so he's ready for this theology. Are you ready? This is the view of liberalism light. I'm okay, and you're okay, and that's okay. Okay? And you're sitting there like, everybody's okay. Everybody loves Jesus. What? Now, are you guys ready to sum all this up? Yes, dear.
Well,
There are no commandments. By the way, have you not noticed there are no commandments in the Bible? Just love Jesus. Yes. You've certainly been in churches that are here. And by the way, there's never enough rules for those people. They keep finding new rules. After a while, it's like, you got too much makeup on. Ladies, if you wear makeup, God bless you. Please wear makeup. I don't prefer to, when I see a woman, it's like, they look like, you know, they came off the clown car. I don't prefer that. But somewhere between the clown car and some women that need a little paint, wear makeup. How about this? Wait a minute. I don't have time to talk about this, but I will. Do you realize, some of you guys are getting angry now, you do realize people that say modesty is looking like you're from the 1800s, you do realize, according to 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10, and 1 Peter 3, 1 to 5, both of them say it in different ways. What's supposed to be known about a Christian woman in 1 Timothy 2, verse 10, is her good works. In 1 Peter 3, it's the hidden man of the heart. So if you look like you're from the 1800s, do you think anybody notices? People are, did you get lost on the set of Little House on the Prairie? They're not noticing your character. They're thinking, are you weird? But now we have churches where the pastor would never talk about women's dress, because if he ever talked about women's dress, hey, the Bible doesn't say I can't do this. Wow. Okay, we'll move on. Now we'll go back to Dave, because Dave, I was saying earlier, my best son, but now I don't know. The dog ate my homework. Let's look in your notes for to sum up all of this, would you? Galatians 5, Dave. But faith, which works by love. This verse, look at me, summarizes all of the Bible. You're immediately over your stupid, immediately. How so? Well, how does Christianity start? Starts with faith, which would be faith, I'm assuming you know, alone. Yes? Faith alone eliminates. Hello? If it's faith and faith alone, we're no longer in this legalistic binding. How do you find forgiveness and salvation? It's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Which all of a sudden, this is the reason, the moment you grasp that, Catholicism in every cult dissolves. I said every cult. Church of Christ, Iglesia Ni Cristo, there's so many of them. They just, why? Because they all teach it's faith, plus, 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 and you never know how many pluses. So, Paul says it's not circumcision or uncircumcision, it's faith, but he also says, what's the next phrase? What does it say? Which what? We'll just use works. Which works? And unfortunately, that destroys 80% of American Christianity, which says, if you love me, love me. Paul says, nope, the kind of faith that saves works. Correct? Now, but we got three problems, don't we? What's the third problem, Ron, on the board? We've dealt with liberalism light, because this faith is a faith that works, not only in James, but in Galatians 2. We've dealt with legalism. What's left? Yes? How does this work? By guilt? By fear? By not doing? Oh, no, 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 no. From the beginning, the most important passage in the Bible, according to Jesus, is the Shema. You ever heard of the Shema? By the way, people are impressed. You know, the Hebrew people use the Shema. Shema is just the first word, the word hear. Shema Yisrael, that's all that is. The Shema says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Do you realize what gets rid of legalism light? I'm sorry. I know who you are. I'm not mad at you. I know what you've grown up under. I would like to liberate you from false teaching. Now, I'm going to say this without mentioning names. The man who preceded me drove this church by guilt. Now, look me in the eyes, deadheads. He felt the same way. I've heard his sermons and I've seen his writings. He never felt like God or anybody accepted him unless he did more and more and more and more. And therefore, that's exactly how he preached. Now, Frenchie back there didn't listen to him. And Ron would feel guilty. You say, you're mentioning names. I know both of them. Frenchie checks out. Ron would feel guilty. Come here and do something. I'm not interested in either foolishness. I'm interested in people who have experienced the love of God, who serve God, not out of guilt, not thinking they're going to get some more. God will really give me a hug if I do more. You've got to be kidding me. And if you fall apart here, that's exactly how you raise your kids. So your relationship with your kids is not you love this child and they love you and we're moving forward. It becomes do some more, do some more. One verse eliminates all three false doctrines. One verse. Faith eliminates legalism. Worketh eliminates all of the evangelical world that if you love me, love me. By love eliminates legalism light. For the love of Christ constrains me. Galatians 2:20, who loved me and gave himself for me. Every place in the Bible, that which drives the engine is the love of God. Wait a minute, but if you grew up under this, and some of you did, you're going to feel guilty for not feeling guilty. And you're going to struggle to figure out how to do right because your entire life has been, I'm going to do right when the pastor beats me to death. I feel guilty then I do something. And then you don't like what you did. You give some money and you feel bad that you gave the money. I have never given one nickel to anybody that I didn't want to do. Because the love of God is what constrains me. Not guilt, not enough. By the way, when you love somebody, do you give? Huh? Listen, I never say anything nice about several people. You know her, you know him. This guy loves this girl and the other one too. As tough as he is, and he's rough, I don't think you could say no to them. Well, he might say no, but all you have to do, oh, Daddy, okay. Now, I'm exaggerating, but may I say something? Isn't that a beautiful way to live other than your children are always on trial? Here it is. Christianity is not circumcision or uncircumcision. It's faith. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But it's the kind of faith that works, which is every place in the Bible. But it does it by what? What's the motivation? Not your guilt game. Not I come to church because I feel guilty. Not I do some work at the church because I feel guilty. Folks, you should do something because Mr. Losey, even though he grew up under this nonsense, I never saw him get angry at serving because he did what, are you listening? We'll talk about it tonight. He wanted to do. And when you want to do this, it's not a problem. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Bless our time in Christ's name. Amen.